And thinking is the condition. If the thinking takes place, your body's going to go out and run because the thinking told it to run. Thinking is also a noun, but it's the noun in action. Thinking is the only noun verb that exists. It simultaneously exists in all conditions of state. It's always going to be a noun in action. That's what thinking is. Because you can't stop the condition of motion. If you stop motion, the planet Earth is about the size of a golf ball. The only thing that gives us space is the motion of the atoms. The time-space continuance of quantums is what gives us our mass and our motion. And the motion is relevant. From standing still to infinity. And that gets into a topic of quantum physics. And that's not what we're here for. We're here to put truth on trial, to explain a foundation of understanding of how the motion of thinking is relevant to the subject matter, not subject matter, facts of our existence, the facts of what a contract is. You can only have in the truth statements used by prepositional phrases that isolate the condition of all your nouns in a specific performance. When that is accomplished on documents, on a piece of paper, then the paper can move an idea from an invisible state of volition onto paper between two vessels. And it's this level of accuracy that gives those two vessels the ability to make maritime contract, because this vessel paper and this vessel body have to have joined it. And that's what this is all about, establishing constitutions. Go ahead.
Under Title 31, Chapter 2, Part 215, there's an agreement between the Secretary of Treasury and the District of Columbia State Department, where anyone in the receivership to the Secretary of Treasury, including the executive branch and the judicial branch for withholding purposes, the military, state, city, county, federal employees, you as a judge, are you under that jurisdiction of the Secretary of Treasury there?
No. The Secretary of Treasury. Secretary is a pronoun, of is an adverb, modifies the Treasury verb. TREA comes from treason, treaty, treasury, treasure. See, the beginning of the words give you a hint as to what's going to take place. They use the condition
for the hymn.
Okay. You guys something about your presumption. Two plus two equals four. Now the other day we had a person in the law field, and I said, does two plus two equal four? And she said, well, I went to college, I can add. I'm going, good. And says, which part of 2 plus 2 equals 4 don't you understand? Point is, I've got 125 different ways to 2 plus 2 equals 4. T-O-T-U. Now that's the number 2. That's a tilde. That's the location 2. That's not a numerical value, folks. I take and put a TWO here, and put a tilde in front of it, and I've written the location of 2. And the hieroglyphics are very important here. So we've got each one of these. this is forward. Also, the numerical value, the sound from 2. The number 2, the location 2, and the location 2. So we've got 7 2s up here right now. And you can do the same thing, but you have 4, location 4, number 4, that 4, F-O-U-R, and F-O-U-R tilde. You see, when you do the multiplication, 7 times 7 is 49 times 7, divided by 2, you get 125 variables. So, did you hear what I said, what I meant, what I said, that I said, what I meant, what I said? You can't win an oral argument. You can't hold the volition of your thoughts in a hand. You can't show me the three-dimensional object called thinking. Because you can't show me the three-dimensional object called thinking, we have to write it on paper. So you can't win an oral argument here because you don't know how to spell. You don't know what spelling we're going to initiate. So it's very important here that contract becomes the order of things. That's why we wrote this book. Because the government said no one will ever read and write in this format. And we came back and said, well, I just wrote a 115-page book, and I've got several thousand lawsuits of variable styles, anywhere from 4 pages to 150 pages on the market, that are all written in mathematical quantums, where every noun is certified by a prepositional phrase. That the accuracy of 1 in 900 definitions are certified for every noun that we incorporate in these, in our lawsuits. And with that level of accuracy, fiction stands up and says we can presume, and I says no. The presumption violates our due process. So therefore, we make the argument that if you can't be accurate, don't participate.
I want the colon after the two. So do that to me.
The colon?
Yeah.
Okay,
dividing two colon.
When you write a number, you do two period, that's a number.
Right.
You're saying you want to do this?
Yeah. That's what you had in your older books.
This would mean if you wanted to put a location to for the that this here was initiated at some point. It's multiple punctuation that's not required.
And you don't have to do that no more.
Well, whenever we did this, if I would say pen, tilde to full colon pen, that means the location is number two here for the pen. But here we would drop the colons and just write for the pen. Or of the pen by the pen.
Oh, I see, because I was doing like a 13 title.
Oh, you're using, when we go title, we do full colon title.
Right.
Tilde, 18, full colon, U period, S period, C period, tilde, 1001, like that.
You don't use claims.
Claims, right? We abbreviate it once. If I have the term unity states claim written 250 times in a document, the court system, from the world court all the way down to the local court, says, "Why repeat the same sentence over and over and over? It takes up 4 pages of text. I mean, this is 3 words." Times 250, that's 750 words, that would fill roughly 4 pages of writing. So we go ahead and we assign USC as an abbreviation, an abbreviation section, and we save 4 pages of paper, so we don't have to cut down all those trees.
In the close.
Right. What an abbreviation section, where we do a closure of what these abbreviations mean.
So closure or close?
Closure. The closure and close and covering are the same word.
Okay. Last time, let's take no closure with a close.
Well, you use close and closure, it's the same word. You just have to define your definitions.
Okay, define.
When you write a document, you must define your words. Just like we can say that it takes a prepositional phrase to make a noun. But each one of these words, when we place these on our documents, we have to go ahead and assign a definition for those on every single vessel that goes out of a court.
And when the court fails to do that, they don't have nothing.
They haven't advertised what they're doing. When you write a lawsuit, this here, let's say this is a lawsuit, it's 100 pages long. This here is just like my body. It's classified as a maritime vessel. This document is a solid object. It's independent. It's removed from me. It's a vessel. this vessel has to have identification in it. This vessel has to have a flag on it, has to have a stamp on it, has to sign the stamp to move it. Just whether it be a small piece of plastic like this as a vessel, a driver's license as a vessel with a flag and a stamp on it, or a document of 100 pages long. There is specific information that the document must carry. That's why in the back of my document I have a contract. It tells what this document is for. I walk into a courthouse and I show this to the judge, and the judge says, well, you're impersonating the judge. I says, no, I am means no person, which is corporate. I says, one, I'm not corporate. Two, I'm not a negative fact. I brought this document in to show you, judge, where's yours? Well, you have a license. He says, I have an oath here. His oath is in a box, italicized, and all the words are modified. I says, show me your oath with a noun. Show me your oath as a fact. If you don't have an oath as a fact, then I guess you're just a presumption. You're an actor in black robes. Are you on my plane? We're holding court here today, and I'm on the same plane as all of you, and we have equal contract to communicate. When you talk to me, I can hear you because I'm on the same plane of existence as you are. But when a judge is on a plane above yours, there is no continuance of evidence between your plane and my plane. If a judge is in a box, he's in an enclosed area and cannot hear evidence or witnesses. A jury box, look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, it says it's an enclosed area where juries cannot see evidence or witnesses. And they can't hear anything. Remember when the babysitter killed the kid in New York City and the jury found her guilty of murder? The judge says, no, she's innocent. Send her back to England because her father's amazing. And he was part of the royal family in England. And the judge says the jury didn't know what they were doing when they issued a guilty verdict against the babysitter. And then in 3-inch high letters in almost every newspaper in America, how does a judge overrule the jury? Jury's in a box, an enclosed area, which can't be considered. He knew that. And so he vacated a position on the babysitter and sent her back home. And yet, people get caught jaywalking, wind up with 5 years in prison under a presumption.
So if you turn around and you presented that argument, I presented that argument right there to a judge,
he would say there's no continuance of evidence between the courtroom in New York City and the courtroom here in Nevada.
No, I meant what you were talking about in the part to that part of the statement there, that what you were talking about the judge when you showed him your
right.
And you asked him for his license, and that, I mean, if I turned around and said that to something to the judge, would he hold me in contempt of court?
No, because you're asking for a question. You're not accusing. We are allowed to ask questions.
I've read the oath of office that judges have to take and attorneys,
right.
And it gives them the variance to take and do whatever they want to do. That's, I mean, whatever their opinion is the oath.
That's admiralty law. Admiralty law says that I will make the law. 3 + 3 = 7 in my courtroom. Today in my courtroom, this is going to be called a cup of coffee. Anybody in this courtroom objects to that, you're in contempt of court. That's admiralty law.
Then
you don't believe it, I'll put you in jail, let you think about it. And after I soften you up, I'll bring you back here and I'll get you to say, how many fingers do I have? If you see 5, you must be delusional. If you're 6 here, you'll be okay. And if you think that's why, remember the movie 1984, the book?
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that are old enough to be required to read it. The whole book was, the man was in torture for 14 weeks. Every time the interrogator held up his hand, he said to the man, how many things I said? And he said 5, they tortured him. Finally, after 14 weeks of torture, he said, would you like to say? He says 6, okay, you've got 6 fingers. Does anybody know what the last word in the book of 1984 is?
In?
5. There's a lot to be said for the last word in the book 1984. 5. It means, if you're delusional, you can make anything you want. Facts are still the facts. The book started off with a man who believed in the facts, and it ended with a man who believed in the facts. He will die with his facts. Truth can't be obstructed. And you can modify it all you want. It doesn't change the facts. we're in a level of accuracy today. Man has evolved to a position where he has a definition, not even definition terms. See, because definition is DE. DE means no. Finite comes from contract. To be accurate, you've brought forth your definitions. You've brought forth your terms. And you've given enough information that your accuracy can't be disputed under any circumstances. That's why we call it a definition. But because man modifies all things in his communication skills for 8,500 years in all languages, he has no binding. In other words, he has no fine, no contract. That's why they call it a definition. The word term, T-E-R-M, is quantum. That tells you information to come to a conclusion. Con is contract. Terms of the contract. That's why it's called terms of the contract. Then you're dealing with a statement that goes with truth. Talk up. We went into court. He said, Your Honor, do you understand in the truth? He says, I can't understand you. Do you understand the truth? He says, yeah, it doesn't have verb. I place the verb truth. Truth is a condition of a state. It's a noun. He says, that's your opinion. He says, we got 42 people here saying in the truth is a prepositional phrase that certifies truth to be a noun. And the judge says, that's your opinion. You're in my court. In my court, it's the truth.
You see, then what do you do with that?
Man was on a plane above the rest of the people in the courtroom. Because he was on a plane, the conversation never took place. Everyone in the courtroom was delusional to think that they were talking to a judge and actually giving it to an argument. There was no continuance of evidence. And the judge had a yellow fringe flag, which says, I'm only titled, and I'm advertised my title to be in the fiction, or in fiction. And fiction would be a verb here, not a noun. Fiction is a condition of state. It doesn't exist.
So, what was the outcome then?
The outcome was that the judge vacated the case and recused himself from contact with the people, and then quit. A week later, he couldn't be found. He left the state of Washington. No, that was Oregon, too. He left the state of Oregon. He later traced him. He moved to Sydney, Australia. He left the country as well. He was afraid of being charged with treason against the people. And believe me, they were going to charge him with treason to come after him. But because he was out of the country, they had no further argument.
So if you go into court, or I go into court, and you go before the judge, and I've only been there once or twice, so I'm not sure of all the procedures. And I say, well, first off, this court has the yellow fringe flag. I'm not under the jurisdiction of that flag.
But you are. One, you walk into the room with a yellow fringe flag, so therefore you are in the jurisdiction of the yellow fringe flag.
If I carried my flag, being required to carry that? I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that little card thing that you have there?
No, you carry these. This is the Federal Reserve controlled by the post office. These are postage stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use these, you're saying that you're a federal citizen and you use federal commerce. And with the Federal Reserve, you're saying that, remember God said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, give unto God what is God's.
Yeah, exactly.
God created man, gave him volition to think. You can't hold a thought in your hand. You can't show me volition. Show me your money and who you're going to use, pay homage to. If you use Caesar's money, then you better pay Caesar 35% commission because he's got a military to make sure that this money is valuable. Without the military, this is a piece of paper. Even gold, even though it's a metal, what's the difference between gold and mud out there in the ground? It came from earth. It was here long before, came in, picked up gold,
it
had no
value.
Expenditure
of energy.
It wasn't,
expenditure of energy.
No. Gold was a condition that the people got together at the beginning of time and says, we have to have value. You can't carry around all this cargo.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put this cargo, we have to identify its description on paper. We have to exchange value on the paper. And everybody on the planet said, what's the one substance that's not going to deteriorate? It really holds up well. Gold was a substance, platinum also, silver.
But you still had to expend the energy to take in the beginning of it.
That's irrelevant. The point is, you can expend energy to pick mud off the ground, too. Out in Easter Island, they took coral and they cut holes in it. And only the king could make coral. in the shape of lifesavers. Mm-hmm. And everybody strung them on deeds, and that was their money, because there was no gold on Easter Island. And they couldn't get off Easter Island to go anywhere because they didn't have ships, mm-hmm. or couldn't build ships. So the point being is, a group of people in an isolated community will figure out what money is. They will vote on assigning it a value. And with that value, they will use it for exchange because it is convenient rather than carrying around the heavy the heavy metal. Because it, you know, I could put 10 pounds of gold in your pocket, or I could give you a MasterCard with a $10,000 limit mm-hmm. of credit. It's a lot easier to carry around a piece of plastic, or even carry around $100 bills than it is to carry around $10,000 in gold bullion, which is about 3 pounds of weight strapped on you. They get pretty tiresome after a while. You know, if you're going to do that for 20 years, you're going to say, this is ridiculous. There's got to be an easier way to do this.
Let me go back to your statement there. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God. By rendering to Caesar that which is Caesar's, the impost, excise, and portion taxes. Those legal, lawful taxes are tied to 31.
They're legal and lawful taxes because he has a military that's going to guarantee the value of your money while you use it for commerce. Without it, not only would the people who you're doing commerce not honor it, but neither would any other culture honor it.
Yeah, but I can't make my own money. And if I'm rendering unto God, which is God, then my labor is a gift to me from my God that I should enjoy all of it all the days of my life. I'm merely
but one can't do commerce because commerce is an issue of contract, and contract is two or more. If you were alone, there is no contract. One is an opinion. Two is a certification. Two or more requires contract to join together. Just like words in a sentence. One word means nothing. It's called a pronoun. All 2 million words in English language are in fact nouns, but standing alone, they're no nouns. They're nothings unless somebody else can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
If I say this is a cup, well, fine, that's between me and the cup. If I say it's a pen, it's between me and the pen. But it has no bond with you unless you and I agree that this is a cup. We're going to put coffee in it, drink it. It's going to have practical application. We're going to sign it a whole bunch of definitions. Mm-hmm. And just like this here, I pull out this pen. As long as I agree that we're going to use this for writing and communicating, it's fine. But the minute I do this, it's a concealed weapon and I can kill somebody with it. And now because it's a stabbing tool, I've changed the definition of its use, and I'll go to jail for 10 years for carrying a concealed weapon. The point is, things only work when the contract is adhered to. The first time you break the contract, you've got war and death. And we're trying to remove that ability for somebody to violate contract. If I give you a job assignment, wouldn't you like to know that what the job assignment is? That I've given you a definition saying, okay, you're a police officer. You're here to protect and give a witness of things that take place. It means you can't go out and conduct investigations where you're a dentist. You're a policeman. You can't put out fires over here because you don't know anything about pyro, and you're going to put water on an object like phosphorus. It's going to go ahead and start on fire, make it worse than what it started before. Or you're going to take a toxic chemical and deal with a toxic chemical. When you're supposed to be a policeman, you have no education about toxic chemicals and poison an environment that kills 1,000 people. You see, everybody has a specialty, a job assignment. We give you a job title. But if the job title is so vague, what is the job? If the judge's job title is so vague, if he can't make a fact, can't make a determination, and he's going to say, well, I presume you did that crime, then we're going to put you in jail for 20 years for that crime. You're going, show me the law written in the truth. Or vacate your position. Just as I don't have to show you anything. I think you did it. I think you were in Chicago last week and you committed this crime and going, but I've got proof I was here. Yeah, but I think you could have been there, so therefore I'm going to find you guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would really be irritated by that.
Sure.
Yeah. And so would all the rest of us. We want the accuracy.
So don't they have to homologate the truth? Or homologate the law? Yeah. The truth?
Yes, they're supposed to have what's called the continuance of the evidence. Do they have the continuance of the evidence? The answer is no. They don't even know how to describe the evidence in their lawsuit. As a judge right now witnessing, I'm looking at an indictment that's 200 pages long, and not one legal sentence in the indictment. gee, how do we conduct a clock without a sentence? If I had been in jail for 9,000 years, we'd probably be dead in another two because of his age and health. Why waste the taxpayers' money on something so frivolous?
It's all about money.
It's all about money.
Yeah, I think it's commercial in contract.
Right, but if they can go ahead and steal $70 million while conducting this modification, which can never be proven, they can go ahead and hold the money in their illusion, and everybody's going to die of old age and will still be held. In other words, it's a legal bank, it's a bank robbery. It looks legal, but in fact, it's a bank robbery because it's a modification to get everyone fooled to think that they're really doing something when they're not doing anything. Good question here.
Yes, I want to know how you would avoid such a thing then, because like they force you, of course, to stand in front of that yellow fringe flag. So how do you avoid that? You can't tell them the truth because, as you said earlier,
they don't want to hear it.
Right.
The only thing they want to do is go ahead and harvest you as a person.
That's why you're renewable.
And your argument is, their argument to you is, you don't have a police force, a military, organized to protect you as one. We organized ourselves as judges to have a police force and a military to go ahead and harvest you as a person.
So how do you protect yourself? You protect yourself from the fiction getting you in the future for jaywalking and going to jail for 10 years.
This is where we the people learn how to read and write, and we go to the polls and we vote. We vote new rules, new regulations. And you get the issues of the vote. But the government says, no, you're not allowed to vote in the truth in our country.
Yeah, you're not.
United States population is 4% of planet Earth. And only 1% of the 4% controls the 99%. That's all. It's 1%. So with 1% of the population controlling the other 99%, and they're in fiction, the rest of the world also is aware of those numbers. There's 6 billion people on this planet, and only a handful of individuals have created this illusion. And so the rest of the people on planet Earth are studying. Even though the politicians stand up every day and use adverb verb, the general public is learning about what truth is very quietly on a day-to-day basis. They're improving their education. They've been told what is aware. They know what's wrong. And they talk to each other. And it exponentializes itself. Now, when we took this to the KGB, to Vladislav, Russian judge, in Russia in 1998, it took 2 years before it got to, went across Russia. And the Russian people studied quantum language in the truth, because they were a people that was completely bankrupt. When they went to the polls in February of 2000, 38% of the vote was for the Unity Hyphen States of the Russia, a political party within the truth language that the KGB didn't even know existed, because people didn't talk to the KGB. Everybody knew who they were, but they talked to each other. And when it came down to vote, they voted in and wrote in their own leaders and had the controlling vote in 38% of the positions to have in the truth as a fact. Now you've got one-third of the Senate in the truth and two-thirds in the fiction. And the other two-thirds can very easily be embarrassed for their lie, presumption, modification, opinions by the one-third. And this is going on around the world. As people learn this more and more, it will exponentialize itself until 51% of the population of this planet know what the truth is, and the other 50% will be embarrassed. And so truth will be voted in. This planet will have a one world order where everyone knows what their job assignment is. Everyone knows what their titles are, responsibilities, how to write constitutions. And anytime somebody stops and creates a violation against another human being, the accuracy of their contract, the accuracy of their violation, will be at such a level that there won't be any presumption, won't be any gray area as to what you did wrong. If you did it wrong, you did it because you absolutely knew you were going to do an evil thing to another vessel. And so you are